that is Lord enthroned in heavenly splendor. Today is Tuesday, August the 7th in the year of our Lord 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with us is Pastor Mark Smith, who got here just in time because of the, I think, of the Gulf traffic, eh?
I don't know. A lot of traffic on 270.
Right.
But it was all blocked up from the 44 exit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
All backed up. When I got into the far left lane, I could move pretty well.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But you had to get off at 44.
But it was rainy. I couldn't see in my rearview mirror very well. And
well, that's why you need to drive your car forward instead of backward. Oh, my. Lord
just
enthroned.
Just made it in the nick of time.
Yes, you sure did. Lord enthroned in heavenly splendor was written by George Bourne, B-O-U-R-N-E. I'm unfamiliar with him. Originally, this was 10 stanzas and included in 1874 in his 7 post-communion hymns. It's useful for processions at Ascension and at other festive occasions. The tune Bryn Califaria means Mount Calvary. And for example, it's a Welsh hymn. It is said that when tragedy struck in Wales, as in the case of a mine disaster, families would gather at the pit to see if their kin are safe. And the singing of this Welsh hymn brought special strength and comfort while they were standing at the mine shaft.
How about that? That's an interesting story behind the hymn, isn't it?
It
you know,
sure
I could
is.
Tell as I was looking at the hymn, I could tell it had kind of an Ascension. The note of the Ascension kind of rang through that.
Yes,
it's kind of hard to explain, but I sensed that it was maybe to be sung in, you know, after Easter, after the Festival of the Ascension.
I never heard of post-communion hymns.
Yeah, me neither.
But
I would think of that as being the last hymn of the service.
Or the last hymn for communion?
Perhaps final hymn after of the distribution.
Yeah, it depends. Some congregations that I go to, they actually have 2 hymns at the end. They have a hymn just before the benediction.
Yeah.
And then comes the benediction and the final hymn.
Yeah, that's kind of the way we do it.
Oh, really?
That's the way we do it on a non-communion Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's correct.
It's
a non-communion Sunday that they do that on. So, have you ever heard of this George Burney?
No.
No.
No, I haven't.
So, if you'd be kind enough to read the first stanza.
Lord enthroned in heavenly splendor, first begotten from the dead, you alone, our strong defender, lifting up your people's head. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Jesus, true and living bread. Jesus, true and living bread. And, of course, that's right in with the theme for Sunday. Jesus is the bread of life.
Yes, and
the gospel.
Yeah, a lot of people can't understand that. You know, how he can be the bread of life. It's interesting that he's talking about manna, but then when he goes to talk about himself, he says the Father sends him from heaven.
Yeah, he's the true heavenly manna.
Yes. So
manna is like a type of him, would you say, a foreshadowing of him?
Yes.
The manna in the Old Testament.
Well, if you heard my promo, I had a question on this first stanza. Wasn't Lazarus raised from the dead before Jesus?
Yes.
Then how come Jesus is called the first begotten from the dead?
Well, he's the first fruits of them that sleep. His resurrection seals our own resurrection. I mean, because he rose from the dead on Easter morning, we too will rise on the last day. And for that matter, I don't think the earlier resurrections would have taken place if Jesus himself would not be risen from the dead.
No, I think that's an excellent point. So the word first isn't chronological.
No.
No.
He's the first fruits. He's the, what would you call that? The precipitator?
Cause, the foundation?
The originator.
The originator. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's a good point you make, that had he not risen from the dead, Lazarus would not also have risen from the dead.
And also the little boy in the story of Elijah, the widow of at Zarephath. Well, you know, that wouldn't have taken place.
Sure, there's a whole bunch of resurrections from the dead, and this would be one of them. Enthroned in heavenly splendor. How do you understand that?
Well, again, this is an ascension. See, this is what I mean by the ascension season running through there. You know, he's now he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's at the helm of the whole universe. He's the Father's right hand man, so to speak. He's head of the whole universe now.
What's this line mean? Lifting up your people's head.
Lifting up your people's head. Well, he's the head. We're the body. Where he goes, we go.
So what you're saying, lifting his up. Resurrection is lifting. His own head he lifted up.
And lifting that's up our your head. People's head. He's the head. We're the body. He's ascended. As he ascended, we also ascend in him.
Yes, good point. And that's why he's true and living bread, true and living bread. I'll read stanza two. Though the lowliest form now veil you as of old in Bethlehem, here as there your angels hail you, branch and flower of Jesse's stem. Then alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. We in worship join with them. We in worship join with them. So what does this mean? The lowliest form now veils you.
Well, that's interesting because we just had kind of the note of the ascension, and now it goes back to the lowliest form now value as in Bethlehem is incarnation.
Yes.
See, that's kind of interesting. It's almost, I don't know, would you call that a regression? A regression back to his state of humiliation? Is that what the author's doing? I don't understand that. He talks about him as the bread of life. He, you know, on the one hand, we realize that even now he's at the right hand of the Father.
Yes.
But he's still true man as well as true God. You never separate those two natures.
And that's proven by the next line. Here as there, your angels hail you.
Right. Here as there, your angels. So, just as they hailed him in Bethlehem.
Yes. Yeah, remember to the shepherds.
The shepherds.
And the announcement to them and to the wise men.
Mm-hmm.
And so the angels hail you, branch and flower of Jesse's stem. Who's Jesse?
Jesse is the father of King David.
Yes. Yeah. Who was his grandfather?
Obed.
Yeah, very good.
Yes.
Ruth and Obed.
Yes.
Yes. And so what this hymn does is once more, it has a couple of verses at the bottom from Revelation and 1 Corinthians, but as in every good hymn, you can have about 20 Bible verses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because it's already talked about the ascension.
Talks about the Bethlehem birth.
That's the incarnation. And here as there your angels hail you, branch and flower of Jesse's stem. So, branch and flower.
Yeah, the righteous branch.
Yeah.
And I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys.
Oh, that's good.
In fact, one of our Advent pyramids on our lectern has the rose of Sharon, that Jesus is the flower.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So, rose of, what does Sharon refer to?
That's an area, I think. I think it's an area of
Do you ever do that with your kids in confirmation? I did that at least one time. Take them up into the sanctuary and go through all the symbols.
I did that. I did the series of sermons, I think, either Advent or Lent, where I went through all the pyramids. I went through all the symbolism of the pyramids.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
It was a lot of work.
Well, they change often.
Yeah.
Like they'll have different I was at a congregation, and they were going to do the installation of a pastor, and they were taking all down the banners they had in preparation for that one. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then the color was changing to red.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so, it's always for the installation.
Yeah, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, the installation of a new pastor, you usually have red, yes.
Do you change them for a funeral?
No.
So whatever is the color for that particular...
Nor
that...
for a wedding. A wedding, I don't change them either.
Oh.
Yeah, wedding,
you
nor
don't
funeral.
Go to white?
No.
Oh.
No, whatever the season is.
Yes. So you don't have many weddings on Good Friday?
No.
Now, I know somebody who did.
Oh, really?
Well, it was on Saturday.
Well, in fact, my dad passed away on Good Friday.
Oh, no.
Which is kind of neat.
Yes.
Whenever I think of my dad, I think of Good Friday. Whenever I think of Good Friday, I think of my dad.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Oh, I'd say about 12 years ago or so.
All right. Stanza 3, please.
Paschal lamb, your offering finished, once for all when you were slain, in its fullness, undiminished, shall forevermore remain. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Cleansing souls from every stain. Cleansing souls from every stain.
Okay. So we had the ascension. We had the incarnation. And in this verse, we have the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that interesting? Somebody will ask, like a child, what do you mean by Paschal lamb?
That's Passover. I always think of Passover. But you say the Lord's Supper there. Maybe it is. I'm looking for your offering finished once for all when you were slain. I can see Good Friday, I can see his cross. Well, on the other hand, cleansing souls from every. I don't know if I see the. I mean, you can't separate the Lord's Supper from it.
Here we go again.
But, no, but it's not real, real obvious. You know what I'm saying?
I think it is.
Paschal lamb, your offering finished. Okay, that's talking about the atonement, the atoning sacrifice on the cross. Once for all, when you were slain. In its fullness, undiminished.
Wait, you can keep reading it, but you're missing the point.
Shall forevermore remain. I'm going to keep reading it.
Yes.
Cleansing souls from every stain. Cleansing souls from every stain. Well, no. I mean, the Lord's Supper. I mean, how can you separate the Lord's Supper from any of this, really?
Well, you can.
But I see this as talking about. I see this as talking about his atoning sacrifice on the cross, atoning for all of our stains, all of our sins. Okay, now I'm going to let you speak, oh great one.
Every time you say that,
you fount of wisdom.
You're going to say, oh, I hadn't thought of that. When was he Paschal lamb?
On Good Friday.
No.
Okay, go ahead, tell me.
Maundy Thursday. There was no, remember, they didn't eat.
Yeah, right. There's no lamb there talked about.
That was the meal they were having. It was the Passover lamb.
I see. Okay.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
So
you're convinced that this is talking specifically about the Lord's Supper, the third verse.
Well, in light of the fact that he's Paschal lamb, and...
Well, he's the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, and that was talked about by John the Baptist at his baptism, or near his baptism.
Well, that's kind of a future tense, who has come to take away the sin of the world. It actually didn't happen until the new covenant was established, and that was at Maundy Thursday. Remember the old covenant, Exodus 22? The people say, all these things we will do and obey, and then Jesus says, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins.
Right.
He does that on Maundy Thursday.
Yeah, but it talks about your offering finished. That was not accomplished till Good Friday.
Well,
once for all, it is finished. That's Good Friday. What are you going to say to that, Tom? Great one.
It's a chronological thing. The first is the Paschal lamb. And then your offering finished once for all when you were slain. So the offering began with the Passover.
Okay. I'm not going to change your mind, so.
No, of course not. Boy. In fact, I'll change my sermon now, which I'm going to go do in light of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. In fact.
You preach this morning, don't you?
Well, why do you think I'm dressed this way?
You're right.
Yes. I'm going to leave now and you'll take over from here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
Life imparting. Want to go to the fourth verse?
I think you do.
Life imparting, heavenly manna, stricken rock with streaming side. We know what that's talking about. Heaven and earth with loud hosanna worship you, the Lamb who died. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Risen, ascended, glorified. There's the ascension coming in again.
Well, there's a resurrection.
Right, you're right. Risen, ascended, glorified.
So, he imparted his heavenly manna, in my opinion, when he gave out his body and blood. Then he was stricken. Now, how do you understand this phrase? Stricken rock with streaming side.
Well, there's a lot of images there. There's the rock that followed them, as Paul talked about, the rock that followed them through the wilderness that was stricken and gave them water.
Yes.
And it's also the picture of the cross where the lance pierced his side and out came water and blood.
Yes. Yes. So what the hymn is doing, it's almost taking every part of the Apostles' Creed and giving a phrase to it.
Okay, yeah.
And so, stricken rock with streaming side, heaven and earth with loud hosanna worship you, the Lamb who died. And that once more goes back to John the Baptizer. Behold, the Lamb of God has come to take away the sin of the world. But then this very last one, risen, ascended, glorified. Okay, the risen would be the resurrection.
Right.
The ascension, obviously, when he left. What's the glorified?
Well, is that the his arrival at heaven's courts? You know, your favorite, you always talk about your favorite chapter in Revelation.
Yes.
Where he's ascended to heaven and welcomed as the Lamb that could.
I think it refers that he's going to be glorified when he becomes a judge on the last day.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because isn't that when we talked about that? He lifts up your people's head.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That they're resurrected.
Lifts up your people's head. Yeah, the resurrection. You think that's talking about the resurrection, lifting up your people's head.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because they're down in the ground or wherever. And the thing that we really got to get across, for example, there's a passage coming, he who does not eat my body and drink my blood has no life in them. Well, there's plenty of people who never had the Lord's Supper. So how do we understand that verse?
Well, no, that's a spiritual eating. That's belief.
Exactly.
It's believing in him. That's what that's talking
about. A lot of people
about.
Don't realize that through faith, one can almost say there's really no additional benefit the Lord's Supper gives you that you didn't already receive in your baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's, I always like saying, it answers a different question. Baptism is, how do I know I became a child of God?
Baptism.
How do I know I remain a child of God?
The Lord's Supper. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a Baptist last night that is going to a Baptist seminary in a Baptist college that is in Louisville. And I was trying to explain to him the means of grace, you know, we were talking about the means of grace theology. And I was trying to explain to him, you know, the Lord's Supper is different than baptism.
Yes.
You know, it's not, they're not, well, you got one, you don't need the other. They're not interchangeable. There's a reason for both, and I think you just hit on it.
Yeah, I think, and that reason is because it's answering different questions.
Mm-hmm. What are the? Oh, I see. The different questions is how do I know I'm a Christian? How do I know I'm still a Christian?
Yes. And then we haven't even talked about the first question. How can I be sure my sins have been forgiven?
That's the cross.
That's right. Yeah. It's not when you come to faith. Mm-hmm. It's the cross. In other words, all three answers
are important.
Are something outside of yourself.
Yeah.
That a lot of people don't realize. And I think that's really what's going to be important.
What is holy absolution? What is the answer that? What's the question that answers?
Holy absolution.
Does that answer a specific question?
Like, on what basis have my sins been forgiven? What's the very first words? Upon
this your confession.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
In fact, we are never to do the Lord's Supper without having confession and the absolution. So any time that I did the Lord's Supper during Matins, I would always, before it, we would go back to page 5 or 15 doing the confession of sins.
So you don't drop the confession absolution when you have the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, never.
You always include it.
Right.
Some of these guys are inclined at, well, we're having the Lord's Supper, we don't need confession absolution. That's baloney.
No, exactly. Because that is God's way of helping the pastor know who to give the Lord's Supper to.
Right.
Kind of thing. Anything else on the hymn? You going to use it this Sunday?
No, it's a Welsh hymn. You know, those Welsh hymns are good.
Oh, I know. Yeah, this is another one. I thought we did one not long ago.
That's right.
Again.
I think it was last week.
Yes. Well, I'm going to go get ready to preach. So what we're going to have you do is listen once more to the hymn. I'm Tom Baker. That was Mark Smith. And hopefully we'll be back together on Tuesday.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.